you in the 06010.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. I am Daniel Dopp with Mike Clay, also joined by Al Zeidenfeld. You can find us every Thursday on ESPN NFL's YouTube feed, and our podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you listen to podcasts. Mike, it is good to see you here going into week six. Mm-hmm. Coming out of week five, I'm just going to jump right into it because I'm excited to talk about today's show. Coming out of week five, you crushed me pretty big last week. 169 to 122, my team did not perform.
Well, and again, you kind of build out, you stack, right?
So I do a lot of stacks.
You're going, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, we have fun with the head-to-head. You're kind of going for the first place in the tournament. I'm setting our, you know, an optimal cash lineup. So you're going to be more inconsistent. You're going to have these down weeks and some big weeks. But yeah, I got you easily this week.
You know who got me easily, who got both of us this week was Ryan 1914 with 236 points. Wow, Ryan, congratulations.
Crushed it.
Absolutely fantastic. All right, join our free league over at DraftKings. It's free to enter, $200 in prizes. You can follow at Mike Clay NFL and at Daniel Dopp. We will tweet out a link to the league so that you guys can join. And let's jump right into this. We're going to talk about quarterbacks first, starting with Justin Herbert. He's hit 300 yards or had three touchdowns in every single game this year. That 300-point bonus is nice, especially in DraftKings. He's been red hot as of late. $7,300 taken on the Ravens. Mike, why you like him this week?
Well, you just said all the stuff. I don't need to say anything. You just did my job for me. So, look, a price fourth in line this week, $1,000 less than Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes has been awesome, but Herbert's been just as good over the past few weeks, to your point. 30-plus points in two of his past three games, three straight top 12s. He's giving you a high floor. We want that, certainly, in a cash situation here. And the volume has been terrific. Now, he's not running quite as much as last year, but that's been offset by high scoring and lots of volume. He is second in the NFL in pass attempts this season, top four in completions, yards, touchdowns, expected touchdowns, so it's not a fluke high touchdown total. And he's playing the Ravens. A Ravens defense has just allowed over 400 passing yards to Carson Wentz on Monday night. Eighth most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks over expected this season for Baltimore. Just south of 1,600 passing yards is fourth highest. The sixth highest YPA. This is not what we usually expect from the Ravens defense, but they've had some injuries and they are struggling. And one more nugget here about this defense. So they did slow down Jared Goff. And they slow down Drew Locke, right? Locke subbed in.
Those are some great quarterbacks you just listed off.
I know, right? So they slowed them down. Now, so how about the other quarterbacks they faced? 343-plus passing yards and 2-plus touchdowns allowed to Derek Carr, Patrick Mahomes, and Carson Wentz, right? So now they're facing Justin Herbert. I think he files into that second group,
category.
All due respect to the first couple of guys.
Yeah.
Again, they've been beaten pretty good by good quarterbacks this year. It is tough going all the way to Baltimore. Like that's a long trip for them, but home field advantage has not been a big deal this year at all. So I'm not really worried too much about that.
Okay. Love that call. Al, let's come on over to you where we're going to talk about Joe Burrow, $6,300 taking on the Detroit Lions. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons why you like Burrow against the Lions this week, but I'm going to let you give them to our audience.
I mean, I feel like I'm picking on you every week, and I don't mean to because I basically just stream quarterbacks against the Lions and, you know,
and it works out, right? Detroit.
I mean, they're allowing a league high 10 yards per pass attempt. It's like 32% worse than the league average. So there's that big playability. I love the stackability here with Burrow in tournaments, considering that like there's three wide receivers that he throws to and the tight end doesn't really, you know, Uzoma's there. But aside from the one game where he had a spike game, it's Ja'Marr Chase for like 25% of the time, Tyler Boyd for 23% of the time. And when he's healthy, T. Higgins is also in that like 23 to 25% of the target market share. So if I'm going to get 70% of the throws to go to three guys, it's much easier to pick one or two to stack with and then maybe have a bring back player. So, you know, maybe a tease for what's coming on later in the show, but like Burrow with a double stack seems pretty solid to me this week and very underpriced.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right. Let's talk about a couple more quarterbacks that we like. Mike talked about it a little bit earlier. Patrick Mahomes, $8,300, the most expensive quarterback on the slate. However, coming off of like a absolutely awful game against an awful Washington football team defense, this is potentially like prime spot for a 5-touchdown, 400-yard Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Also like Lamar Jackson, $7,400. Daniel Jones, $5,500. there's a lot of quarterbacks to look at this week, but at the same time, there's not a lot of, there's a lot of quarterbacks that we, that normally would be on the slate that are not on the slate. When you look at the Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, and the bye weeks, now that we have bye weeks coming up.
Yeah. And you could do a lot with your lineup by putting Daniel Jones in there, and I'm super intrigued to use him. But after what happened last week, I'm like, I'm going to go towards the guy we know is playing. Whereas my lineup last week was completely destroyed by McCaffrey and Cook and everybody else who didn't, like Curtis Samuel. It was, he ended up playing, but was good if we didn't use him, because he was 50-50. So yeah. was that last week?
That was
played
last
a few
week.
Snaps and
yeah.
So anyway, Herbert, more of a safer play on a Thursday when we're recording this. But Daniel Jones, if he goes, and it's sounding optimistic too, if he goes, he'll be a nice play too.
Yep. All right, let's talk about some running backs here, Mike. I definitely feel like you guys are picking on me now, because we're gonna talk about Joe Mixon. we've only talked about like three players. Two of them have been Bengals taking on the Detroit Lions. Honestly, what is there to say about Joe Mixon? Because it just, like, the Lions are bad. Mm-hmm. Joe Mixon is the guy. He's going to get all the work there. Also a great pass catcher. And now I'll let you take over the rest.
Again, why am I here?
I don't know.
I don't need to say anything else. I mean, it's the matchup, right? It is the, and look, this is going to be an interesting dynamic this week in tournaments. And, you know, Al can maybe touch on this as well, because, you know, Mixon has not been involved in the passing game, right? So if you're either pretty much going to go in on Mixon and go with a different stack, or you're going to go with like Burrow, Higgins, Chase, and then avoid Mixon in your tournament lineup. So it's something to think about for sure, because it's going to be hard for them all to hit. Or maybe they will against the Lions. I don't know, Daniel. But look, Mixon, 6,400, the 10th highest price running back. Now, he was limited last week, right? And that is a little bit of a red flag. I'll talk about that in a second. But even despite the fact that he played very little last week, has had some injury issues, he's still top five at running back in carries and rushing yards this season, has three rushing touchdowns. He was delivering the goods the first few weeks of the season. So that's a good sign. 20.1 carries per game during weeks 1 through 4. And, you know, again, a bit limited. He was questionable last week. There's really no doubt right now, I don't think, that he's going to play this week. And Samaje Perine is on the COVID list, so he may not play.
Yep.
So then you would really expect Mixon to take on a larger role this week. And again, I'll just quantify what we already said. The Lions, fourth most fantasy points to running backs, the most overexpected, 10 touchdowns to running backs in 5 games. That is most in the NFL. Top 10 in yards per carry and yards per target allowed to running backs. They've really struggled. If Mixon goes against this defense, I mean, he could have 25 touches in an outstanding matchup. We've seen running backs light up the Lions all year.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be hard. And at this price point, it's going to be hard not to use him.
Well, you know, if the defense has given up so many points, if everybody is so bad, then that means there has to be somebody on the other side of the ball that's hopefully scoring points for the Detroit Lions. And Al, there's a running back we're going to talk about here that they like as a pass catcher quite a bit in DeAndre Swift. $6,300 on the other side of that game. Tell me what you like about Swift in this matchup.
Well, one, I like you, Daniel.
I like
you
too,
buddy.
You're
a good friend of mine, and I like to make you feel good, so I want to talk about a Detroit Lion.
Yes.
For a change. And we talk about stacking and having bring-back players or secondary stacks. You have to have somebody from both teams, and it's like it's always really been hard this season through 5 weeks to find a playable player on the Lions, and the one consistent player has been DeAndre Swift in terms of his volume every single week. Six targets last week, 6 the week before, 7 the week before that. So much inclusion in the pass game, even though he's splitting time at running back, and that is kind of a 50-50 split. Not exactly, but, you know, close enough. Don't fact check me. You have a situation where he's still getting some carries inside the 10-yard line. There is Jamal Williams that could frustrate you here, but I think he makes the most viable bring back play for Bengals stacks or secondary stacks. But I think he's a fine play on his own. He's on pace for 99 catches this season. He's been very consistent every single week as the guy. So bringing a Lions pass catcher and considering they usually are going to be playing from behind and throwing a lot, Khalif Raymond was the guy 1 week. We have Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's gotten 8 targets the last 2, but was non-existent the first 3 weeks. Every once in a while, Quintez Cephas is the guy.
Yeah.
So it's just this weird amalgam. Hockenson's been inconsistent. The only consistent guy on that offense has been DeAndre Swift. So yeah. I'm rolling with him at 6,300. It's just too cheap.
I like it. I've rolled with Swift the last couple weeks, and he has paid off quite handsomely. Mm-hmm. A couple of the running backs that we like. Christian McCaffrey, if he plays, at $8,800 against Minnesota. Devontae Booker, $5,400 against the Rams. That is a really cheap price. Obviously, tough Rams defense, but you look at the volume there. I like Devontae Booker. Darrell Henderson, $6,000 against the Giants. He has... Mm-hmm. He has 73% of the Rams' running back touches in his four games this season. At $6,000, he's getting a lot of workload. I like that. And then we already mentioned DeAndre Swift at $6,300. All right, Mike, do you own or rent your home?
Sure do.
Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico, as we need to say, what's okay. easy? Geico makes it easy for you to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Yes, it is hard work.
Oh, Mike. You're the worst.
Darn it. I messed up that read. I'm sorry.
Let's talk about some wide receivers here. Mike, we're going to start off with you. Cooper Kupp, $7,900, taking on the New York Football Giants. Double-digit targets every single week. It feels like Cooper Kupp might have one of the safest floors in fantasy football right now.
Oh, yeah. Number one scoring fantasy receiver, but his price is number five right now, $1,100 below Davante Adams. And Adams is terrific. You could fit him in your lineup just fine, and it's probably going to pay off for you. But still, Kupp, again, outscoring him this year, and he is priced $1,100 less. I mean, that is a huge gap. It doesn't make much sense. 16 plus points in 4 out of 5 weeks. The exception was last week when they were just force feeding Robert Woods. It was a fix me game for
that's exactly what it was
for Robert Woods last week. 10 plus targets in every game. You just mentioned that. Continue to do my job for me over there.
It's called being prepared. Come on.
Kupp no lower than third in targets, catches, receiving yards, touchdowns, expected touchdowns. So that's the Kupp resume, right? The high floor you just talked about. He's doing the job. He's a high ceiling. We know that. But check this out, okay? So the Giants, mid-pack so far in receiver fantasy points allowed to receivers, but they are the only defense in the NFL that has allowed all five receiver units they have faced to outscore their season average, right? So it speaks to the level of competition to some extent. I thought that was a really interesting nugget. The only defense to do that so far this season, allowing the second highest catch rate. And also, Giants lean towards zone. They run a lot of zone. Kupp, this season, 67% of his fantasy output against zone. He's been a zone beater so far. We'll see if he can keep that going this week. Love him as play.
All right. Another guy we're looking at is Terry McLaurin, $7,100. Al also double-digit targets in 3 of his last 4 games. And we've got to expect this is going to be a shootout with the Chiefs. So you got to like Terry McLaurin coming back on the other side of that.
Highest totaled game on the slate at 55 and holding. In fact, a lot of play has been on the over in this game. So neither defense can stop anybody, and both offenses have been really good at moving the ball. Even with Heinicke under center, who's not been a very efficient quarterback, but at least he's moving the ball and piling up yards a lot of times in garbage time or playing from behind. As Washington defense can't stop quarterbacks in terms of DraftKings scoring or wide receivers or tight ends. And the Kansas City Chiefs have not been able to stop quarterbacks from moving the ball downfield. 4 times this season, a player has gone over 110 receiving yards against Kansas City, and 3 of those guys found the end zone. And considering that Terry McLaurin is like the one guy who gets targets, he's gotten 50 targets this year so far. 29.5% of Washington's throws head his way. And the next highest guy is 13%, and that's Humphreys. They have a lot of injuries that they're dealing with, guys that are missing practice this week. De'Ami Brown, Logan Thomas, we know is out. RSJ stepping in for him. So like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that more targets could head his way. And Mike, I know how much you like math and stats and analytics.
True.
A Brett Saberhagen type year here for Terry McLaurin, where in odd weeks he's gotten 10.2 or less DraftKings points, but in even weeks he's scored 30 or more in both even weeks. So we have week 6 now. It's an even week, a lock for 30 plus points. The math doesn't lie. The numbers add up.
Yeah, he made this. The reference this time was sports, so I got it. Brett Saberhagen. Now I don't know what you're talking about. The odd and even. I guess he was boom bust, but I actually know who that is. So all right.
Not going to lie, I almost brought that up, Al. When I was going through the research for the show, I was like, wow, he's on pace for another 30-point game this week.
Yeah, has to be. He's a lock, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. A couple of the wide receivers that we like. Keenan Allen, $6,400 against Baltimore. Keenan Allen, just really quickly, it feels like he is a guy underneath Mike Williams in price now that is just like $6,400 for Keenan Allen just feels like it's too low, Mike.
Oh, yeah, and he's still playing well. Yeah, I think the Chargers are the only team with, what is it, 2 top 15 receivers, I would say?
It's because Mike Williams came on so strong that it's like Keenan Allen is just sort of like people have forgotten how good Keenan Allen still is. Anyways, that's just my thoughts. Brandon Cook, $5,800, taking on Indianapolis. Sterling Shepard, $5,000 against the Rams. Tyreek Hill, $8,500 against Washington. Terry McLaurin, we already mentioned. Jacoby Myers, $5,500, still looking for that elusive touchdown against Dallas. Devontae, is that right?
Yeah. Still looking for that elusive touchdown. I was just going to point out that Mac Jones and the Patriots are aware of it, and they're trying to get him
and
that
touchdown.
And
they're trying to get it.
So we already know he's going to get a ton of targets. It's going to be a lot of short area stuff. That's fine. But they're actively trying to get him in the end zone.
I love it.
And that is good news. You know, that just makes him more
appealing.
He
got tackled on the one last
time. He did.
Seriously.
It's not even
I know.
Fair.
And it was palpable that they were upset about that, that he didn't score. It's going to happen.
Yeah. I love it. Our last one is Devontae Adams at $9,000 against Chicago. It just feels like you can always play Devontae Adams because he's just amazing. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about a couple of tight ends here. Mike, going to start with you. Mark Andrews at $5,200. Absolutely lit up the Lions last week. It's the third highest over under this week. I don't even know what to say other than Mark Andrews, $5,200. It seems like a great play in a super high scoring game against the Chargers.
Yeah, so it would not be the show if we didn't have a Monday night football discount recipient.
That's exactly what it is.
That is, of course, Mark Andrews this week at $5,200. 42 points in his last game against Indianapolis, which is just unbelievable. The guy is four straight top 13 fantasy showings after the poor week one. So it's not like he just came out of nowhere. He's been pretty solid so far. He's second in fantasy points now after that big week at the tight end position. Leads all tight ends in receiving yards with 400. He is actually ahead of Travis Kelce in receiving yards this season, which is a heck of an accomplishment. Top three in targets and catches and going up against the Chargers here. Okay. Second most fantasy points allowed to tight ends, most over expected. So if we adjust for volume, they're even worse than that. Most targets faced, most receptions allowed, second most receiving yards allowed. And of course, last week, David Njoku out of nowhere just went off, just totally crushed them. So yep. Mark Andrews in a good spot here, coming off the big week. Sometimes it makes me a little nervous, like a guy coming off a spike. You expect guys to come back to earth a little bit, but he is in a good spot here, and the price is good.
Price is good. All right, Al, I see that you want to talk about Travis Kelce, but I think it says that $7,000 is his price, which means you must have put it on the sheet wrong.
I must have. I feel like we're getting a 25% discount on what Travis Kelce's price should get. And I like a sale just like anybody else. But like,
$7,000?
Seriously, DraftKings? He's 7K. How do I not just play him everywhere this week, considering that A, he's Travis Kelce. B, it's the highest scored expected game on the week. We talked about how much of a smash spot this is for Patrick Mahomes and everybody on both offenses. So the fact that the Chiefs, the carnival seems to have moved from Dallas to Kansas City, where like Kansas City's offense is so good that they can pile up points, but their defense can't stop anybody else from piling up points, which means that their offense has to continually have its foot on the gas. So that's good for Travis Kelce. And when you consider that Kelce has not seen an end zone target yet this season for five games, that's kind of weird considering that he has not had a streak like that since 2016 of not getting an end zone target. So not to predict regression in one game, but like they should start targeting their big monster beast of a tight end in the paint, which does lead to more touchdowns going in his favor. So you're going to have the volume, you've got yards. One of the only tight ends that every single week has a chance to get you that 100-yard bonus. And I'm going to expect that the touchdowns for the rest of the season are going to turn, and you're never going to see Travis Kelce this cheap again on DraftKings.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I mean, the Chiefs are number one. The Chiefs this season, in terms of offensive points per drive, are number one over the past decade. So that means they're ahead of the MVP year. I mean,
that's incredible.
Think of an offense from the past decade. It's one of the highest ever. So they are just rolling. Kelce's, you certainly try to fit him into your lineup. I mean, you really try to get him into your lineup if you can, but I mean, I did not this week. So you have some options. I feel like it's a little awkward here. I don't want to shoot myself in the foot here.
Spoiler alert. I can't wait.
It worked out a little differently. Obviously, I'm using Mark Andrews going with a unique strategy, but
we'll get there when we get there.
I'm saying I agree with Al. If you find a way to get Kelce in, obviously a terrific value, and he is on my list. He's the next tight end on my list.
He is.
Can I add one quick thing here regarding Kelce?
Yeah, bring it.
Normally, it's not about Kelce. It's more about roster construction, specifically for week six. Typically, I will not use a tight end in the flex. Even Travis Kelce, I don't normally allow in flex, but there's such a absence of wide receiver value this week that I think that there are a lot of viable 3 to 4K tight ends, and then I will allow Travis Kelce in those lineups into the flex, because if you look at the wide receivers that are priced around 7K, He fits right in and possibly has a higher projection or ceiling projection than all of them. So I will allow Kelsey and flex this week where I normally won't.
Love it. All right, Travis Kelsey, we just talked about Jared Cook, $3,200, taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Basically, everybody from the Chargers-Ravens game we want to play. Mm-hmm. Same with everybody from the Chiefs-Washington football team game, as Ricky Seals-Jones comes in at $3,000 as well, bargain cheap. And I'm told that he's going to have 110 receiving yards this week, right? Al, isn't that what you just told me? Four times a season, a player's gone over 110 receiving yards versus KC. Yeah, so this week it's going to be RSJ.
Oh. Clearly.
And Terry McLaurin, both of them are going to have 110 yards and a touchdown.
And hopefully Gibson scores three touchdowns. Yeah, Seals Jones, by the way, they put Logan Thomas on IR and said Seals Jones is just filing right in. You're going to play 100% of the snaps like Logan Thomas, full-time guy, same number of targets. Actually, he had more than Thomas has seen in a game this season last week. What, he have nine targets in that game? So, yeah, 3K, I mean, yeah, he's like a terrific value.
All right, Beard versus the Brain is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. All right, Mike, our head-to-head lineups for week six. Like I said, you're ahead 3-2 going into this week. Congratulations, you're on a three-game winning streak.
Let's keep it rolling here. We're going to go
losing week six lineup.
Yeah, we'll see. Justin Herbert against Baltimore. Of course, talked about him. Joe Mixon and Daryl Henderson were both on our value list. They're going. They're in a good spot here this week. I'm actually going with a couple Rams here. Cooper Kupp, of course, talked him up. Have to have him in my lineup this week. Keenan Allen, Jacoby Myers are my other wide receivers. I just fiddling with the lineup. Brandon Cooks was a guy that I was trying to get in there as well. I think he'll get back on track after a couple down weeks. Good spot here against the Colts. So you have options there. And then, look, again, I was just talking about it. Don't love going the two tight end route, but it's hard to avoid this week. So I did it. I'm going with Ricky Seals-Jones, and I'm going with Mark Andrews. Defense, I'm going with Houston up against the Colts.
All right. The winning lineup sounds like this. It starts with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback.
Yeah, talking a big game after losing three in a row. All right.
Jonathan Taylor. $6,600, my first running back. Devontae Booker, $5,400, my second running back. The amount of volume that Devontae Booker is going to get for $5,400 is great. Yep. Going to pair Patrick Mahomes with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, so I've got both of them.
What?
With a comeback of Ricky Seals-Jones in the flex, so tight end in the flex, as that we've talked about. My secondary stack with Jonathan Taylor is Brandon Cooks at $5,800. I am then left with having to find a lower price wide receiver. I like Van Jefferson, $3,400, because he's at least going to get a number of looks from Stafford. And then I'm forced to take Washington's defense at $2,000 because that's all the money I have left, which is something I hate to do.
You can't do that. I mean, you're going to take.
What do you mean?
Like
you tell me I can't
you're
do that?
Take like a, you're going to take like a negative two on defense because you're starting Mahomes, Hill. I mean, I don't know. You're limiting your ceiling by doing this.
That's 100% true.
But the rest of the, I mean, the rest of the lineup's really good. I like it.
Thank you, man.
I like it a lot. A lot of people, you know what's, this is like a DFS strategy. I feel like a lot of people are going to go, knowing it's Washington and seeing what they've allowed, a lot of people are going to do what you just did here. That's the only problem with it.
This is the hard part, was trying to find, like we've talked about, just find a way to get Kelce in your lineup. Like play Mahomes and Hill if we think this is going to be a huge game. If you're going to spend up, you've got to find places to be able to save money. That's where Devontae Booker came in for me. Obviously, it's tough, though, because if you're playing Seals-Jones and I don't love Van Jefferson, I don't want to play Washington's defense, but you got to save money somewhere.
Mahomes pick six or something. And he has thrown, 13 picks in his past 15 games, something like that. Maybe you get lucky.
Maybe you get lucky here.
Interception or something, a touchdown on that, a fumble return for a touchdown. Maybe Darrell Williams fumbles and they score. And then it could work out for
then
you.
Then it works out. Yeah. So anyway,
it's going to be interesting.
It will be interesting. All right, Al, give us your weekly tournament lineup. I know everybody's been waiting for this.
So I can't believe that we can do the things that we can do with lineups this week. I've got a Joe Burrow stacked with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. I'm bringing him back, or that double stack back, with DeAndre Swift at running back. I've got Daryl Henderson at 6K as a one-off. And then Brandon Cooks as a secondary stack with Paris Campbell, Travis Kelce as a one-off at tight end, and Minnesota's defense for $2,900 against the Panthers and Sam Darnold. So that might be too chalky. I might have to take people out just based on cumulative percentage in tournaments. But like the fact that you can do these things on such a short slate, the pricing is a little wonky this week.
Yeah, I freaking love this. I mean, getting Travis Kelce for $7,000 really opens up some other possibilities there that you wouldn't normally have, is what it comes down to. So love that lineup, Al. All right, cool. That's going to be it. Another show in the books, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We love being able to do this. Please follow at Mike Clay NFL, at Al Zeidenfeld on Twitter. I am at Daniel Dopp. Don't forget to love each other. Please, we need more love in this world. I hope that you guys know this, but Al, Mike, and I love being able to do this show. And I love being able to hang out and spend time with them. They're two of my favorite people. So find people like that that bring you joy in this life, because that is what it's all about.
Like finding Brandon Staley,
happiness.
Right?
Exactly.
Like Watch that Brandon Staley video.
That's exactly right. Find that happiness and you hold on to it. All right. Thank you so much, guys. We love you. Good luck this week in week six, and we'll see you guys next week.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac, brainiac on the case. Projections that can put us in first place. He's a brainiac, brainiac, he's Mike Clay.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.